times, we know that you love us. We know that you're for us, you're not against us. Lord, that you're painting a beautiful picture in our lives, but more importantly, you're using our lives to paint the picture of Christ to the nations. And Lord, sometimes you do that through good times, sometimes you do it through difficult times. But Lord, what we know is that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And so tonight, Lord, and as we reflect back on what you've done in our own lives this year, we want to hear how you've moved and worked in the lives of our members. So Father, give us ears to hear, to give thanks, to celebrate. Lord, we pray for those who are speaking that you'll comfort them, you'll empower them. And Lord, that their testimonies will surely give praise to the living Christ. We pray these things through Jesus. Amen. Ralph?
Good evening. I am from Sweden. I've been coming here for the past 15 years. I have a condo on the other side of the street in an area called Covered Bridge. And I used to go to the First Baptist Church in West Palm. And then I was shopping here a few years ago across the street at Publix, and I saw this church steeple, and I took my bike and rode a little bit closer, and I thought, I got to go in here this next Sunday and see what it's all about. And I have come to love this church. You had last month appreciation for your pastor, and I'm going to start with this. You people are so fortunate that it is unbelievable to have a pastor like this. For several reasons, and I'm not going to go into all of these things, but this man knows how to pray. I have personal experiences of results of that. How about having food delivered at 30,000 feet on an airplane because my pastor in Florida prayed for it? Kind of unbelievable. But that was the situation. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is a total different story. And I'm going to set the stage a little bit. The reason that I had the condo across the street is because I was diagnosed with cancer about 16 years ago. And the prognosis wasn't all that good. All of you probably know that the younger you are, the more aggressive the cancer is. And I was just 52 years old when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. This is a very common cancer, so I mean, there's nothing that you can do about it. You can just have three choices to do. You can either operate or you can use hormones or you can radiate it. And these choices are up to you and your doctor. And when I got the diagnosis, I got a little frustrated and I just wanted to hide away to go pick up the phone, travel agent, and just come over here for two or three weeks and relax and then go back to Sweden. And I've been doing that now. Every year, come here a couple times a year, and then I go back to Sweden with my family. My wife was here last week. She's here with me in the fall. She has the gardening in the spring, so she doesn't come at that time, but in the fall she comes with me. I have a family in Sweden, two children, four grandchildren, whereof two of them are twins. I've been a Christian all my life. I was saved when I was around 11 years old. I belong to Baptist churches, both here in this country and, of course, over in Sweden. Okay, the diagnosis came, and I came to the conclusion that together with the doctors that I was going to be radiated. And this is something that takes place over a long period of time, 7 weeks as far as I was concerned. And after that, they said that I might experience some type of bleeding, and I did. The only thing was that what they said about bleeding, it was drip out of me, it was pouring, and I got to find out what most of you women have. Sanitation pads in your underwear and things like that, I used that. And I kept on going. I didn't seek help for this, except for a couple of times. I was here at one time, and my blood count was so low that I was white. I'd been here for 14 days, 3 weeks, and I looked at my skin, and I didn't have a suntan. And I went into a walk-in clinic here, and they said, you have a blood count of 6, you see, you need to get some more blood. I became known up in Wellington Hospital as the Swede that drove in on empty. And when I came home to Sweden, I asked one of the nurses what the amount of blood that you have. And I wasn't completely American at that time, but I was, I think, two-thirds American because of the blood that I'd received. Okay, I went in for the radiation, like I said, and then afterwards, with all this blood. In fact, between January and June, I received 54 packs of blood. And you would think that I would heed my children and maybe my pastor, who would say, Rolf, you should take it a little bit easy. You know, the Lord has a lot of other things than to just keep up with you, taking care of all the trouble that you're getting into. My children tell me you should be sitting in a rocking chair doing crossword puzzles. But I'm not that person. I'm out and about, and I want to go about my business as I have always been doing. So when I came back from a trip here in the States, I had lost so much blood that I had fainted on the airplane coming back, and ambulances were waiting for me when I came this week. And they kept me in the hospital for 2 months because they had discovered that, as some of you know, okay, this is not going to be all that bloody, but you have your large intestine and your prostate is sitting right next to it. If you're going to radiate the prostate, some might get damaged in your large intestine. But while they're talking about this before this procedure, you don't listen to it. They tell you 1 or 2% might get damaged by radiation. And who listens to that? I didn't. Guess what? My number came up, and that was the reason that I was bleeding. So they try to do this, they try to do that, and after almost 2 months in the hospital, they say the only thing left to do now is to treat you with laser. They'll go in and try to cover the area that is damaged, and then the bleeding would stop. The doctor, and I'm kind of straightforward with the doctor, and this turns out that he's kind of straightforward with me also. So I was laying there and I said, couldn't I watch while you're doing this procedure on a television screen, full color? And he had gotten the information that the damage was about the size of a silver dollar. And as he started doing this, he says, boy, this is bigger than that what they said. And then I said, boy, this is large, just as large as a dollar bill. And then towards after a while, he said, oh, there's a whole football field down here with damage. At that time, I probably should have fainted, but I mean, I was laying down, and I am the type of person that as soon as I get into a problem, I try to get it fixed or ask my Lord to help me with things. And then he uttered these words that I will never forget. He said, this only thing left for you now is a colostomy operation. And at that time, I could hardly spell to colostomy. I didn't know what it was. And when he found this out, he got a little shaken and thought maybe he shouldn't have said all that much, but I was to be transported back to the other hospital to continue the procedures. And on the way over there, I got very frustrated. And by the time I came back to the hospital, I had missed the evening meal. And of course, that didn't make things at all better. I had to take some sandwiches and something to drink. And I'll tell you what, I it's difficult for me to say this, but I got so mad at God that I didn't even know what to do. I felt that I had been dealt a deck of cards or a deal that wasn't fair. I mean, I'd gone through all this stuff with cancer and everything, and now I'm going to have a colostomy operation? Come on. I looked at my life, family. I had big property, 120,000 square feet. I had houses to take care of. I'd like to travel. I'm on the lake. I go swimming every day, and I go to the sports center. I'm in the water every day. And I just saw myself selling everything and moving in to an apartment across the street from the hospital. That's how ignorant I was as far as what colostomy is, actually. I swore up and down that night, trying to get to sleep, cursing, actually, my Lord and Savior for having this happen to me. I was like a 10-year-old child on the kitchen floor. So what happened? Did God abandon me? Of course not. I fell asleep around 3 o'clock at night, woke up, had missed the breakfast, and I went to the sitting room, and there was this man that I had met earlier this week. I didn't know his name, but he was slightly little older than I, and he looked at me and says, "Boy, what has happened to you? You really look in a messy way." "Well," I said, "I just got my death sentence yesterday," I said. He says, "What are you talking about?" "Well, I'm going to have a colostomy operation." And he looked me straight in the eye and says, "So what? What's the big deal?" I almost stood up and hit him right in the face. I said, "What are you talking about? It's not a big deal. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me." During the night, I had set up 3 requirements. This little man down here on earth sets up 3 requirements to the Lord. I want to continue swimming. I want to continue going to the lake. I want to continue travel. I have these houses to take care of, to renovate and everything. I want to keep doing these things. I don't want to sell everything and move across the street from the hospital. So this man that had just told me that it was okay, he says, "Well, tell me about it," I said. "Well, it's no problem," he said. "You know what the biggest thing I do nowadays when I'm retired? I go on these gourmet trips down in Europe, these wine trips and everything." I said, "You do?" "Yeah, there's no problem." "Wonderful," I said. "One down, 2 to go." The operation went through. Afterwards, I was going to go to a rehabilitation home to be treated. And I was downstairs from the hospital carrying this donut-shaped pillow that you have to sit on. And the driver came up to me and says, so what's the matter with you?" I said, "I just had a colostomy operation." I said, "Okay. I have a couple of wheelchairs over here. We're going to let them off at the other hospital, and then it's going to take about a half hour to go to the home that you're going to. So why don't you sit up front? We can chat while we're going." And he gets in the car, starts it all right up, and he said, I've also had a colostomy operation." He said, I says, "What?" "Yeah." "Well, tell me about it," I said. "Well, I'll tell you, I was right in the middle of building a summer cottage, and I put away my tool belt, and I never thought I'd pick that up again." I said, "What happened after that?" "Well, after 2 months, I picked up the tool belt and finished the cottage." I said, "Wonderful." "And then after that, I built a big boat that I have on the coast now. And then after that, I built this huge house, and now I'm in the business of transporting patients from hospital to hospital. And you know, that plastic bag in my tummy has never been in the way." And I felt wonderful. And then time went on, 3-4 weeks at the rehabilitation center and then home to continue my life. In the fall, in October, I was going to go into the hospital to be declared finished with treatment, and everything was going to be okay. Sitting in the waiting room was this beautiful girl, 30, 35 years old, and I figured, why should she sit over there and I'm over here? So I went over there and sat next to her, and we started talking about all kinds of things. And so I said, "Are you here with a relative or "No, no, no, I'm here to test some new products. I have a colostomy operation some 10, 15 years ago." And I says, "Wow, so young." "Yeah," she said, "I had this Crohn's disease and I've had to have the operation." I says, "Boy." So then I met all these 3 people. And then after a couple of minutes, I asked her, "By the way, what line of work are you in? What do you do?" And she says, I'm a swim teacher. Oh, yeah, sure, I said, sure. What are you talking about? In the summer? No, full time. I go around to all these sports centers around Stockholm area to check and see that the swimming instruction and everything, the things that they have is working. And I said, well, how in the world does that work out? And she was so happy, it was unbelievable. She said, well, I can't walk around in a bikini. I have a full bathing suit, and I sew some applications and some wrinkles around here. And I just said, wonderful. My whole soul just leaped inside at me. And I said, would you please stand up? I'm going to give you a hug and thank you for this, because you are the third angel that has come in my way telling me that I am going to be okay. Nowadays, of course, I continue going to the sports center, swimming. I have a wraparound around me, and some young boys will come up to me and when I'm in the shower, and they'll point to the bag and says, what have you done? What's happened to you? Of course, I have to ask them to have their parents explain it. But then once in a while, a man will come up to me, an older man, and says, I see you have a colostomy bag, he said. And you're here very often, and you swim, you sit in the sauna, and you behave just like normal. I says, yeah. He says, you know, I have a neighbor who had that operation 6 months ago, and he doesn't even want to go outside the house. Can I tell him about you? I said, sure you can. I've even had people call me that have heard about me. So can you imagine the turnaround here from me down in the dumps? Now I can be a testimony to other people that you can live with an ailment like this without any problem. So I'm very thankful today that I could share this little story with you. Thank you.
I wish I could share from my heart like that, but I can't. But I put my heart, what I wrote, on a piece of paper, and I hope you'll be blessed by what I wrote. My husband and I attended an evangelical free church in Connecticut for 10 years. I thought I was saved. I thought I was a Christian. In 1976, we moved to Stuttgart, Germany, with our five daughters. During that time, I had a severe mental breakdown. I tried to commit suicide and was hospitalized for a long time. We lived across the street from a German Methodist church where we all attended. The women in the church came in to care for my family and showed us such great love and concern. Satan has power, and my mind was literally attacked for years. We moved back to the U.S. to Connecticut, and I tried twice to take my life out of desperation. I was hospitalized again, and I took pills and alcohol to subdue the thoughts and pain. I had severe panic attacks and lived in fear that gripped my very soul. I could not stand because Christ was not in my heart. Satan had convinced me that my sins were so great that I could not be forgiven. In 1993, we moved to Florida. 7 years ago, I had an encounter with a living God. I saw myself as such a filthy, wretched sinner for the very first time, and understood that Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. I received such forgiveness, freedom, and his mercy flooded my soul. He lifted me out of a slimy pit. Out of mud and mire, he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, Psalm 42. The Lord led us to this church 2 years ago, and last year was a very difficult year as Heinz started feeling weak. He was diagnosed with bone cancer and spinal stenosis. We saw many doctors, and they could not know why he was so weak. This trial threw me into God's Word as never before. We started reading the daily bread, and the Lord always spoke to us every day, giving us strength and encouragement. Our oldest daughter, Heidi, would spend months at a time helping me be the caregiver. Our morning devotions were the highlight of the day, as we would spend precious time in the Word and be in prayer. I cried out to the Lord because it was hard to see my husband decline in health every day. And the Lord gave me the verse, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." On September 27th, three of our daughters and myself were singing praises to our God and said scripture over Heinz. He went home to be with the Lord in his sleep that night and left a legacy of faith to his family and to me. Now that I'm a widow, sustained by God's grace, love, and peace, I know I'll see my husband again. My desire is that the rest of my life will count for the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful for my husband of 48 years and my family. But most of all, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and giving me eternal life and for God's Word. I'm thankful for this church, our pastor, the men's Bible class who ministered to Heinz, and I'm thankful for the Joy class and our Monday Bible class, who all support me and have prayed for me during this last year. And finally, I'd like to read a verse from 1 Peter, in the second chapter, that the Lord gave me. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Good evening. This is a poem entitled "Thanksgiving" that I wrote in 2006. "For what things should we thank you, Lord? Where should the list begin? The very breath of life, your holy breath instilled within, the sun, the moon, the stars that shine to bring light from above, the beauty all around us, warm expressions of your love. The wonder of a newborn babe, so perfect and complete. A puppy or a kitten, every newborn thing so sweet. The air we breathe, the food that grows abundant from the land. Crystal quenching water, all provided by your hand. Relief in times of trouble, the caring of a friend. The gift of your forgiveness and your mercy without end. The stirring gifts of music, of art and poetry, the technicolor palette that enriches all we see, slumber when we're weary to refresh us for the day, a purpose for each one, unfolding both at work and play. Thanksgiving praises uttered on one designated day cannot begin to capture all the thanks we ought to say. The son you loved but sacrificed, redemption just to bring, is cause alone to prove we owe you thanks for everything.
Good evening. I'm sure many of you out there have a story, a God story. If you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you have a God story. But it's my privilege tonight to share mine of the recent, since January probably. This is my most recent story. And I just believe it's a privilege to stand up here, and I want to brag on our Ephesians 3:20 God. Now, I was in a puddle this afternoon when I went through this. I hope I'm over it. Anyway, he who is able. Now, I already forgot it, and I know it by heart. But he who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, hope, and even think about. It's him and us, and to his glory. And that's who I want to brag about tonight, what God is able to do and what he's done in my life. I want you to know, first of all, that I'm going to talk about a disease. I do not have a life-threatening disease. I have a life-miserable disease at times, but it's not life-threatening. And I want to tell you firsthand, I did not get an A-plus through this test, but I didn't get an F. So I'm a work in progress, and I thank God for that. I just need to tell you briefly what has been going on in my life. Some of you know, some of you don't, so you understand a little bit about my story. It's a skin disease, and it's called severe eczema and chronic urticaria. Now, that's a fancy name for hives. But it's not just hives that shows up once in a while and you got bumps on your arm or leg and it goes away in 2 or 3 hours or 2 or 3 days. Mine has covered my entire body. It has lasted for months. It is extremely burning. I feel like I've got a severe fever in my whole body. I lay with ice packs in my bed. I itch and I sting and I burn. And I will tell you, through this all, God is precious, and he is, like Linda said, all sufficient. It's been a battle for over 50 years, but never did I get hives till probably around 1995. That's when the hives started. I've been to many doctors. I've been to doctors in different states. They have put me on many meds, but I just want you to know that God has been so merciful. And I would say to Bob sometimes, Bob, I don't want to do this anymore. This is relentless and unmerciful. But God, I've asked him for healing. My family's asked for healing, but God has chosen not to do that as of yet. So in January of this year, I've started on a new drug added to the others, and it was giving myself 3 injections a week to help get me under control. I've gone to this doctor in Miami. He's a PhD. He's supposed to be world-renowned. He has worked with me for 2 years. He thought he'd have me under control in 6 months. He thinks he has me under control now. Little does he know. Anyway, Anyway, so that started in January. In February, I had a real bad bout. So in April, he decided to double my shots to try and get me under control. And finally, it got me under control, and he was so thrilled. It was costly, but it made life livable. Out of our pocket, it cost about $450 every 2 months, but that was manageable. Now in August, I called to refill that prescription, and they told me that will be $1,975, which I just paid $450 for 2 months ago. I said, there has to be a mistake. That can't be. So after many phone calls to doctors, to the manufacturer, and so on and so on, it was true. The drug had now gone up for a 2 month supply. Cost was $10,000 months ago. It is now $38,000 for 2 months. Well, because I'm catastrophic, I only have to pay 5%, but that's $1,975. And after the first of the year, it would probably double. Now, who can do that? I mean, you just can't. It was impossible. So I called every prescription assistance program known to man, I think. I spent hours and hours and days on the phone. I called the drug company that manufactured it, and no one could help me, because they said it is not FDA approved for my condition. It's FDA approved, but not for my disease, so nobody could help me. So Bob and I kept praying. He would remind me very often, Rose, who's in charge of our life? So as the fear would creep in, we would pray, and once again, I'd give a charge of my life to God. But like I said, I didn't get an A. Fears would creep in, and then I'd get past that. I just didn't want to go back to where I was. I didn't want to do that anymore. So we tried for about a month to cut my shots to 2 a week so it would save along the way and I could take less medicine. But I had another outbreak, and we knew that didn't work. I needed 3 shots a week. So about a month ago, after we bit the dust one time and we paid the $1,975 to give the doctor time to try and find out some options, he was so frustrated. He said, finally, finally, I got you under control, and now this. So, like I said, I called the manufacturer, and for the third time this one morning, I called the manufacturer again. You can say by chance, I say by God's grace. I called and I talked to a girl I never talked to before, and she said, Mrs. Hagler, have you tried Caring Voice Coalition? I said, yes, I have. I said, I've tried at least 3 times and they deny me every time. And she says, I have connections. That gave me a little window and a little glimmer of hope. So a few weeks passed, and after many calls to the doctors and financial records and so on and so on, Caring Voice called me and said, we can help you. Woo! I almost did a holy jig, I think. I couldn't believe it. I was so thrilled. And not only did they say, now it's where I'm going to lose it, that they could help me, but they said they would pay my total copay through 2030. He is in Ephesians 3:20, God. He is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. To the power that works within us, to Him be the glory. So, today's a good day. I'm doing well, and I praise God. Now, I told the Lord, if He worked this out in my life, I would shout it from the rooftops. Well, this is my rooftop tonight. And I'm giving Him praise and glory for what He did. And I learned that He is sufficient. Some days, I didn't really know. There were tears. There were lots of tears. And there were times when, you know, Bob would keep reminding me who's in charge of our life. And as I look back, I don't want to go there again. I'm telling you, I don't want to go there again. But the sweetness of Jesus during that time, it's awesome. And, you know, I had just facilitated the book of James, you know, count it all joy. Right. It's a lot easier to teach than to live. I found that out. But and some time ago, months, maybe years ago, I read in Luke 9 to embrace our suffering. And I wrote in the side of my Bible, Lord, how do you do that? How do you embrace your suffering? And I believe as I've walked through it, it's embracing what he's doing in your life through the suffering. And you can choose to walk with them or without him, but you're going to go through it. You might as well walk with them. It's a much better road. So tonight, I am so grateful. I am grateful for my precious family that has prayed for me. For my dear friends, for this church family, many new, have prayed and prayed and prayed for me. But I really, well, I praise for all of it, but I praise God tonight for a husband. I'll work through this. That's godly, prayerful, supportive. He's walked through this with me for over 50 years. Hard, hard times. There's been good times. I've had years of relief. I've been on many vacations where I didn't have any, and it's been wonderful. But he has never complained. Sometime he'd really say, God, why aren't you doing something? Please do something to help us. But he never complained through it all. A faithful, godly husband, and I praise God for that. So during this time of the last months, probably since January, I've had a song that I'd get in the car and I would play it over and over, sometimes four or five times, because I wanted it to be mine. Deep down in my soul, I wanted it to be my song. So I love this song. It's my testimony. It's what God has done. And it's in Christ alone. Now, there's a version that our church sings. This is a little different. But I love this song. I have played it as high as it would go in the car. I can't sing. I'm going to spare you tonight. I am not going to sing it. But you are going to listen to a CD of it. And I'm telling you, there are times I probably got a little charismatic, but only at stop signs, not while I was driving. So I praise God tonight, and I want you to praise God with me. I'm going to ask them upstairs to play the song. They're going to play it. So worship with me, praise God with me, as we end my testimony with my testimony.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand.